Welcome to the CME IBD podcast series, Enteral Nutrition as Primary Therapy for Crohn's Disease, Making It Happen for Pediatric Patients. This topic is covered over 5 podcast episodes. This second episode focuses on common approaches to using enteral nutrition to induce remission in pediatric Crohn's disease. Our series is sponsored by the NASPGHAN Foundation for Children's Digestive Health and Nutrition, along with the North American Society for Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition. A special thank you to Abbott Nutrition for providing support for this program. I'm Dr. Tony Otley, moderator and chair of the program, and professor of pediatrics at the IWK Health Center in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Our faculty today are Cynthia King-Moore, a clinical dietitian at the IWK Health Center in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, and Dr. Robert Balasano, professor at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine and director of the Center for Pediatric Inflammatory Bowel Disease at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So maybe it's a good time to talk about the two approaches to using enteral nutrition to induce remission. I've spoken about exclusive enteral nutrition, and when I use that term, and I would say that's the majority of the way people would use enteral nutrition for Crohn's disease is a period of exclusive nutrition. That's the way it's practiced in Europe, Australia, Japan, and how we practice it here in Halifax. But I know at CHOP that they have a modification of this approach that they found to be very successful. So I think it's great that where we have representation from two different ways that we hear about those. So I think we'll start with Cynthia, who's the dietitian at the IWK Health Center here in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Cynthia, so I've had that discussion with the family. They maybe not haven't decided yet which way they want to go. You come in and talk with them. What's your approach? What do you do next?
Well, one of the first things to keep in mind is to have a positive and relaxed approach in your presentation style. Be really kind and empathetic to the family situation. Not only have they just learned that their child has a chronic illness, but the treatment options are not without sacrifice and compromise on their end. Take the time to allow some of the information to digest, to answer all of their questions, and ultimately give the family some time to discuss their options in private before asking them for their decision. But the other thing is you want to provide the child and family with awareness so that they know exactly what this option looks like. There's nothing any worse than having surprises throughout this process and families saying, well, I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me that? So try to cover all of your bases. We look at time frames of EEN. At our center, we typically use 12 weeks of exclusive enteral nutrition. And the families are made aware that they can carry on to maintenance feeds, which we do overnight for, say, 10 to 12 hours. And those maintenance feeds can last as long as they continue to work or be effective and as long as the child is content. Obviously, the child and family have options. Perhaps the family might decide, well, we'll do the 12 weeks of EEN, and we'll allow the immunomodulator to take over maintenance therapy from the EEN. And that's making the assumption that the immunomodulator has been started early on. We cover practical things like how the family deals with hunger or overfullness. They are instructed on how to increase feeds or decrease feeds as necessary. Oftentimes, they don't need to do that until they're becoming well and having more energy, and they'll need to increase their feeds because they're hungry. We talk about clear fluid intake and liberal water intake to make sure that fluid requirements are met during the progression of the feeds to the goal feed. We discourage any food intake at our center. And they're made aware that if they've chosen to transition to maintenance feeds, that they can not only feed overnight while they're sleeping, but they are encouraged to eat a healthy diet as tolerated through the day. Most of those times, the children obviously wake up not hungry and they'll start to eat mid-morning. There is no lengthy transition required from getting from the 12 weeks of exclusive feeds to transition feeds. We make that transition very quickly. The only thing we caution them about is avoiding really high fat, greasy foods, ice cream, things like that. We talk about the pump and how tiny it is, and because it's so compact, they can carry that in a little backpack. They can either put it on their back or sling it over their shoulder. Some kids choose not to carry a backpack and might have it in another bag of their choice, but the children can individualize that backpack and kind of add decorations and things that would make it their own. Some kids have even jazzed up their NG tube or their nasogastric tube by adding some colored tape to it. It's whatever keeps the children focused and content during that period. Last but not least, we cover activities, and kids and families are always very concerned about if this route of EEN will cause them to be very sedentary during the 12 weeks. And from our experience, these children can carry on to do all the activities that they usually do. They can go to parties and sleepovers. So really, their life as they know it, once they feel better, is back to normal.
Great. Thanks, Cynthia. I think that's a great overview of that approach. I would say, we do 12 weeks of exclusive enteral nutrition. That's at one end of the spectrum. Many people do a fewer, a less lengthy period of exclusivity. So when we surveyed this, it was anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, I think 8 weeks being the most common. I know in Italy, it sounds like 10 to 12 weeks is what their practice is. So there's a huge variation around that. I also follow up on your point about maintenance. So while there is an option for families to use enteral nutrition as a maintenance therapy, I think many centers use medical therapy as maintenance. I found in my time offering this to patients that most of our patients choose to continue it as maintenance if it's worked to induce remission of their disease. They feel better, and when it moves to being able to eat during the day and just having the two feeds at night, the majority of patients are comfortable, content to continue that way because they're feeling good.
In our center, I would say the same. Actually, I think one of the biggest motivators of our population to do enteral nutrition is to avoid adverse side effects of the medical therapies. And so most of our patients sort of go into enteral nutrition to avoid the immunosuppressive therapies that have traditionally been used. And so their goal is to continue with maintenance therapy when they start with their induction.
Thanks for listening to this episode in the CME IBD podcast series. Please go to pedibd.org to access future episodes. I'm Tony Otley.